Recording. Okay, so we are back in open session now, so whoever would like to.
Did you follow?
Yes, we have a recommendation from an addictionologist who did an evaluation in person with Dr. Bella Pianta that recommended the 12-step program. So if there, evidently there was no problem disclosed at that point.
Did you discuss that, like your concern? Did you have the opportunity to discuss that with him?
Yes, and that was why originally he said that he didn't recommend the 12-step program. One, because I'm not religious and there's a very heavy religion part to 12-step program. But also just that I have gone to them with friends and seen them have very bad experiences. A lot of people are recently out of jail. Like, it's not a good place in general, especially for somebody who is, I don't know, and not that I'm wealthy, but it seems, you know, you're in a different stage in life than people who just recently got out of jail.
We have found with our work on the board and dealing with similar issues, that's an essential part.
Yeah. Have you identified another program that's not religious that works? Have you worked?
No, but I would love to have the chance to do that.
I do know that in some of our work with other boards, that people that have a similar reaction to 12 steps specifically are able to find other programming that is approved by those boards and seems to fit the bill. So we are happy to do that legwork to find something if the board is open to them.
I guess my question would be, when were you aware of that recommendation for the 12-step?
No, this just happened.
This is a new recommendation.
Yeah, so you haven't looked into any alternative programs. You're just saying you don't want to do that.
Yeah, we just found out about this yesterday because whenever I saw Dr. Keene in person originally, he agreed that it wouldn't be helpful for me. So.
My understanding is that the addendum just came out yesterday, so these conversations about, you know, having responses to those new recommendations are pretty still fresh, and we have not had the opportunity to dive deep and see what might fit yet.
I don't recall seeing, and please correct me if I'm wrong, seeing in Dr. Keene's initial report any documentation of what you're describing.
Can I have Victoria jump in next to?
He definitely should. That he did not recommend 12-step.
Yes, but he didn't. But as far as your negative reaction or problems you had with it, those were not discussed or disclosed, if I recall correctly. Is that?
It wasn't in the report. And when I spoke to Dr. Keene a couple days ago, when he was describing the 12-step program, he was envisioning this as one with professionals, so not people who just got out of prison. People who were other doctors and things like that. So just as you're describing, some other type of program that other boards use that are just professionals.
Okay,
that's what he was envisioning.
So did you understand from his conversation if he cared one way or the other, if that programming was 12-step or something similar?
I don't think that he had a specific target in mind, just something that he was just looking for another layer of support.
Because we definitely appreciate that the different way that's supposed to add support here, and so we're just trying to voice that there's a concern about this particular program and she has some trepidation. So if there's an alternative that would still satisfy the board's concern and add that level of support, we would love to have the opportunity to try that instead.
And I think that would be fine, because again, I agree. I mean, religion is a very personal thing, but I think that's up to you to find and not for us to research for you.
No, so absolutely.
That's why I wish you had an option for us here today.
The ones that come to mind,
I apologize. They're right, they just got it.
Yeah,
so they
no, I know,
have
but,
that time to respond.
Yeah, but if you can bring that to us, it's not gonna be up for us to say that we'll approve it if it's
a board approved alternative.
Yes, we can absolutely submit some alternatives. There are some that come to mind. I just have to remind myself if those are specific to like the nursing programs or whatever, but I do know that there are some out there. We will provide those to you.
Sure. Yeah, I think Celebrate Recovery is another one that a lot of state agencies have used in the past.
Great,
well, thank
you. Okay, so we'll look into that.
Victoria, since she is currently, her license has lapsed, do we need to take any action about her not practicing veterinary medicine?
I don't know that you do, and I think you might want to ask her why.
Yeah.
Yes.
I do not have any money.
I'm sorry, I can't.
I just don't have the funds for it, unfortunately. I was able to pay for my premise license, and then I've been very sick, and I did just recently get a big loan. So I'm going to use that to pay for it, but until yesterday, I didn't know if I could even get that, so.
So just to reiterate, it sounds like it's a financial thing. She got a new loan and is going to be looking, that you just were approved for yesterday? Okay, so she now is needing to assess whether or not the funds can be spent on.
I'm gonna use the funds.
Renewing, you are going to? Okay, so you will be renewing your license?
When?
As soon as I can do it and put it on tomorrow.
And she wouldn't need to until she's ready to provide services, right?
Okay.
So, you know, appointment for next week, you just.
So what's our jurisdiction once a license lapses though?
It's by operation of law deemed suspended.
Okay, but we said it's still authority?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Mark. That was kind of what I was thinking. Okie doke. Then at this point, I think I would like to amend the current consent agreement to include Dr. Keene's revised recommendations, his frequency for random drug screens to be increased to at least twice monthly. At this point, for the first 12 months, I would say weekly. That was at least.
It's so expensive, man. I just don't understand why.
So I don't mean to interrupt, but before you motion, there were a couple of other points that I'd like to discuss, so I don't want.
Okay. Sorry.
So one of the other recommendations that we want to discuss was the requirement for community bridges and Dr. Lott specifically to be monitoring the doctor. And the concern that we have with that one is that community bridges and Dr. Lott specifically is an expensive way to achieve that. And usually that program for Dr. Lott is something that, you know, is used for DOs, MDs, people who are in different financial positions. And so this board specifically has never required a specific provider to monitor. And so we would ask again for the opportunity to find a more cost appropriate option that would achieve the same goal, and then we could submit that for board approval. And that is not to undermine the goal of that recommendation. It's simply to ask for the opportunity to find our own provider, which this board has historically permitted.
So then you would be submitting for board approval in the very near future your suggested alternative or requested alternative for 12-step, and your program selection of provider for relapse prevention.
Correct. And again, you know, we did just get those recommendations yesterday, and so we will move promptly on this. We just haven't had the opportunity, and we wanted to see that the board was receptive to that idea.
And my understanding is, what I'm hearing is, it's gonna be generic. We're gonna put a requirement in for recovery program.
Yes, relapse prevention.
You know, and I think one thing that would be helpful though, and I don't know, Victoria, if we've done this, but usually in these type of situations, we put in there the expectation of, you know, one time a week, you know, every other week, how many times for her to participate in the recovery program. And then, you know, with the quarterly reports, just to show that, you know, the attendance is there and whatnot. I'm sure that's in our just a generic language.
Yeah, and I would suggest that we incorporate the generic language from previous cases, particularly Delano and Roy, to be included here. The difference for some is that this is a mobile practice, so there's no direct supervision available. In that case, I would add a practice monitor. These things have expenses attached, there's no question. But as in order to be monitored, in order to keep the public safe, in order to hope that you have a successful recovery, these are, I won't say necessities, but they're extremely important.
Just for clarification, the practice monitors typically look at the medical aspect. Is that what you're challenging here? Is that medically she's not using good judgment? And that's what the practice monitor, because we got into that case where we had that practice monitor that wasn't looking at the right things. They were looking at medical stuff, and that's like not what we wanted at all. So before we go down that path again and get ourselves into a situation, I want to make sure we're clear on what we're asking of this practice monitor.
And I don't think we even consider it until she's practicing again.
Yeah, right? There's nothing to monitor until actually, but once you start practicing, then I can see that,
The practice monitor would be looking at compliance with the Veterinary Practice Act, basically.
But do we have any violations here that she didn't comply with the medical aspect of practice? I mean, what we have in front of us is a drug addiction. It doesn't mean that she wasn't practicing medicine. We didn't find a violation of medical practice, did we?
No, but there were complaints of very unusual behavior, 9-hour waits, and that kind of thing. So it was affecting the practice.
To me, that's because of the drug addiction, not because I don't. Yeah. I guess I have a hard time going forward with a practice monitor if the issues that she was having were not practice related. They were not. We didn't have concerns of her medicine. We didn't have medical record keeping issues. We didn't have premise issues. Like, I don't know what this practice monitor is going to do. They're not gonna judge her behavior and drug addiction stuff. I wouldn't want to do that as a practice monitor. That's not their area.
Members of the board, just a reminder, this isn't a final board order. This is just an interim.
This is an interim
consent agreement, just to make sure that these issues that Dr. James is referencing provide you the peace of mind knowing that the public's protected while we work with the doctor on getting better.
So I say we can always readdress that
absolutely
when we get closer to
in the final
license.
Order.
In the final
unless
order?
You think it's
fine,
an issue now.
Well, we're not practicing right now, so I don't think we are. But
okay.
Victoria,
that's
to add something.
Sorry, I'm just going to add about the practice monitor just from a historical perspective. Yes. Typically, those have been used when people have a history of premise violations, right? We don't have that with her right now. It has been a while since her practice has been inspected. But that's typically why he's a practice manager. The one that we used before and the one that you're referencing, Dr. James, that was kind of a one-off thing.
Yes, it was.
Where the board was concerned about how that veterinarian was practicing.
Yes.
So, but typically they're used because you've had a whole bunch of premise violations.
Yeah, and what you're kind of
that here.
Yeah, and I agree. What you're kind of getting at is more the direct supervision, which is really not possible, but it's kind of having a mentor there to ask questions and bounce ideas off right there, as opposed to after the fact looking for stuff. I understand what you're getting at, but it's a really hard position on a mobile practice because you're only one doctor. But that's you're more looking at that direct supervision of bouncing ideas, having, maybe you don't want to do it that, do this way or that kind of thing.
And as we look at this, I'm hearing that she's not practicing right now and that we can address this when she starts practicing again.
Yeah.
But I'm also hearing from her that she's sick with something and plans on getting better and start practicing right away because she needs the income to pay these things. So can we get clarification on when you think you're going to want to start practicing again? Because that might change how we're looking at these.
Yeah. Next week. I'm just waiting to see that I'm like not contagious anymore, because I got a bunch of like viral tests. It's not like COVID or the flu or anything, but I have definitely gotten like my family members sick, so I'm just trying not to get clients sick also.
Especially because her practice is mobile,
going
into
people's
homes, so she has to be.
I'm hoping the next week or the week after, but I can email you guys and let you know, obviously, before.
Yeah, we would update the board with her renewal status anyway, because that's something that's clearly the board is concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
So
I just like literally didn't have the money to pay for it until now.
And let me ask another question. Is the long-term plan to continue with the mobile practice, or during this recovery period, would looking at a less stressful, maybe other means of practicing medicine be something you would be considering?
Is that available to you?
I don't really want to have to close my business, no.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
She doesn't want to close her business, is what she said. She does not want to close her business, is what she said. She would not want to.
I mean, if we've had direct supervision cases in the past, and that's not up to us to figure out the logistics for it. It's up to us to impose it. And if that doesn't fit for the business model, well, that business model's not valid. It's just not viable.
I get that.
I understand what she's saying, but I understand what we're saying, and we're here on a whole different position than where she's at. So if that's not viable, maybe practice isn't viable.
Well, and
that may be where we come to. We've got to hold our standards.
Right, but what I'm trying to do is figure out what would work for her and what would work for us to meet as close in the middle as we can. We can say whatever we want to say, but if we're doing that and making somebody's life more miserable for no reason, then we're not achieving anything.
I don't see no reason here because
I'm not seeing any changes here.
We've dealt with many cases like this, and I think that supervision is an important thing right now. I think that's huge. And if it's, well, I want my business, well, that doesn't meet with what we need, so practice is not viable. Maybe we do need to have a job.
Okay, but we can discuss that when we get to that. I'm asking her if that would be something she would consider. I don't think there yet. I mean, I don't think that we're talking about that at this point. But we can, but I was asking more of what is her long-term plan so that we can take that into account as we're talking about all of these things.
May I ask a question? If the concern is practice oversight and making sure that somebody is there to put boots on the ground and observe what's going on with her mobile practice, and perhaps this is just my ignorance, and Victoria, if you could help me, I'd appreciate that. Is it an all or nothing approach where there's a monitor in place who has to be there on a regular basis? You mentioned that it's been a while since she's had a premises inspection. Is there some sort of opportunity to do something like that to give the board some confidence that she is out there complying so that the board doesn't think that there is no oversight? Are there options that we could explore that somehow do meet in the middle and allow her to be set up for success while addressing the board's concerns?
I mean, I'll make a comment on that. I mean, there's a difference between direct supervision and indirect supervision.
Yeah.
So, I mean, direct is, in my opinion, direct. I mean, you're there. Indirect would be a different thing. That would still be holding to the same standard, and that doctor would be responsible for issues, but they would be putting more responsibility on the doctor, on Dr. Bellapianta at that point. So, I mean, there's direct and indirect supervision, but, I mean, supervision is supervision.
Right. And the two cases I referenced to serve as kind of a model with exceptions for the CA for this. Both included direct supervision.
That's pretty much what we always do. I think I don't think we have an indirect supervision in that regard.
So I was trying to figure out a way to do something close to it, and that's when I came up with the practice monitor, but that doesn't achieve direct supervision.
So are we doing any kind of program right now?
Is she currently a rehabilitative program?
Yes.
She is so that is something that we wanted to discuss with the board for the update on the counseling services. She was ordered as attempting to comply with her counseling requirement, which is separate from a rehab program, you know. But that is the thing that's in the works, is that she's been trying to find a provider. She has been having difficulty finding anybody to get her in sooner than 3 months out, 4 months out. That's just been what she's met with. We understand that the obligation is to continue to knock on doors until we find someone. So we are, and we'll continue to do that. We did find one provider that I believe our office sent to you for potential approval, but on further investigation, he said he was unwilling to work with the board, so I think that's dead on arrival. But that's the current treatment that she's exploring.
That gives me cause for concern.
Well, my concern would be I'm not going to do 12-step, but whatever replaces that, that starts, then the practice restarts, but not before. Is that the way it generally happens?
Well, you can certainly put that in the interim consent agreement that she's not allowed to practice under her license, assuming she renews it, until such things are in place that she has an approved, and has started in attending classes or recovery program. So you can put all of that in place first before she returns to practice. That's an option.
And I guess our request on that point would be that, we do have the substance, the screenings in place to allow the board to have some peace of mind that she's not using and that the substance abuse issue is being addressed and remedied. And so we would ask that before you restrict her ability to practice, that there be some sort of demonstration of non-compliance so that she can have the opportunity to prove she's compliant.
The demonstration of non-compliance is why she's here in the first place.
Understood. But with the new recommendations is what I'm referring to.
Yeah, so I'm not, I kind of separate from Dr. James and Dr. Wright, and one, I don't think we need to pile on a bunch of different things unless two or three things don't work, then you start adding. But if they're working, I mean, it sounds like we're trying to add on more than what we've done to other people.
No, and I agree with what you're saying. We've dealt with a lot of these cases.
Yes.
This is not a new thing for us. Yeah. I've never seen this many roadblocks thrown.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying right now. Yes. It's a lot of, we can't do this, we can't do that, whereas we just had two cases that were dismissed or that were finalized.
Right. Those
we
were
deal with this all the time. Why do we have so many roadblocks right here? That's what's bothering me.
Okay, but and I'd also add that we need some give back on the other side too, because I'm uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Guess what? You're going to have to be uncomfortable to get over this.
I know. I wish it's you could
just
have
the
been
fact. It's just
here.
The fact of life.
Yes.
I wish you could have been here to see the other two individuals that we just returned their license to active status for a somewhat similar situation and. And yeah, they frankly have been a lot easier.
And they've had all these elements in them. Direct supervision. Yes.
Some worse.
Yes. So,
we want to look for
success in her recovery, not what's the easiest way to go.
Understood. And to the point of roadblocks, I do hope that the board hears that for a number of these points, we're not asking to avoid or evade the recommendation. We're asking for a more cost-accessible, similar requirement, like a generic language that allows her the opportunity to find a provider that she can afford over time, because that is going to help her succeed. So we definitely do not mean to evade the board's concerns, and her intent is to rise to them and demonstrate over time compliance. And we're trying to figure out what that path looks like.
And I understand that completely, and I understand the financial constraints, and I sympathize with that and empathize with that. But usually when you're looking at lower cost options, they're cutting out features, and that's maybe not going to fit with what's going on. I mean, we see that in medicine all the time. This client declined this, but they're still trying to be held to the same standard of a surgeon or something. So we've really got to be careful of, I understand cost is an issue. Mm-hmm. That's unfortunately not our issue, though.
When we are submitting for board approval of these providers, we will make sure to identify whether or not they're providing the same or similar programming.
Appreciate that.
Okay, so.
So that, as an interim, there are some basics I'd like to start building in now. Are in sync with what will be the final order. We need one doctor, who is your gatekeeper in essence, one MD, who reviews and coordinates all prescriptions.
Is that Dr. Hazel?
We need one pharmacy only to be used, and we need a report from that pharmacy. I would say 60 days after it's established. We need, at this point, I would say, since we don't have the other elements in place, I think we should go, instead of quarterly reporting, from Dr. Hazel to monthly. Because we don't have anything else in place right now. We're waiting to hear back from you.
Ms. Solomon, in the current one,
yes,
she's already required to write a copy of all pharmacy profiles on a quarterly basis.
Okay.
So that's already in
there. On a quarterly basis. Okay, thanks. So disregard what I said about the reporting of the pharmacy, that's already in the end.
Okay.
So on a quarterly basis. But as far as the since we don't have relapse prevention in place, we don't have really treatment in place, we don't have anything in place, I think we need monthly, until we do have those things started, we need monthly reporting from Dr. Hazel, who I believe is your current provider, correct?
Can I ask a clarifying question? When you say you want, a ringleader of someone who's in charge of the one provider, are you speaking about a counselor that is contemplated by the agreement already, or Dr. Hazel? Just, I want to make sure I understand what kind of provider you're talking about.
Victoria, do you want to clarify?
Are you, I believe, Ms. Solomon, you're trying to get at who's prescribing her different things.
Yes. Yes, and it's got to go through one clearinghouse.
So that would be Dr. Hazel, then, correct? Okay.
Okay, so he would be the, in essence, that means he would be the clearinghouse for anything that any other doctor prescribes for her.
Understood, yeah, thank you.
Okay. Okay. So with those changes, and I will go through them again if you would like, since this has gotten convoluted, I'll start at the top of the last page of Dr. Keene's recommendations, and we'll just go down and then we'll have the ones I've added. The random drug screens will be done weekly, and that can be reassessed once treatment has begun.
Do we want to take these individually? Because I'm going to...
Okay.
I'm not going to vote for that, and it's going to stop the whole motion.
Okay.
Unfortunately, so...
Okay. Can I ask why?
Because it says every 2 weeks, and I just...
It says at least.
Yeah. And that's what I would go with, is 2 weeks.
If I could add, the concern, as I understand it, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is the... the ketamine that was in her system. And so my best understanding of the life of, you know, ketamine in your system, sure, for testing is that it can last up to several weeks. And so, sure, that if that helps the board understand how often testing would be necessary, I would hope that that could be tied to a reason for having increased testing and the frequency of testing.
It was my understanding that ketamine is described as short acting. Yeah, is that different?
Didn't the doctor say that the reason for the increased frequency was because of the rapid metabolism?
Okay, I understand that. And so I guess my question is really, is weekly necessary to catch that? Because we do have some financial concerns. So I'm just trying to explore whether that...
I mean, I think you'd have to ask a pharmacology expert, but it's going to be, it would be every other day.
Yeah,
ketamine
does not last long.
Because it's got a half-life of like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
As a pain medication, it's almost useless unless you're going to do something really fast and quick.
Or CRIs and stuff. Yeah, but in about half a day, most of it's gone.
Almost immediately, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so then in that case, you feel that once a week would not be...
I think we have to serve a purpose.
I think it would be ridiculous to do it every day.
Yeah.
No, you're
not gonna...
Okay.
I think we have to follow the doctor's recommendation.
Yeah.
Every two weeks. Okay.
Well, they did say at least. I mean, that's still in the recommendation. So I mean, you could split the difference into every 10 days if you wanted to. Yeah. It does say at least. I mean, it's
okay.
Not going against them.
Can we use that wording in the interim order? Would the board be amenable to that, using the exact wording, frequency of random screens be increased to at least weekly? Excuse me, to at least twice monthly?
You couldn't do it in the order because that's pretty vague.
My understanding is that the order already gives the board discretion to also order at different intervals. So
we don't want to have to do that.
That's understood. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's easiest to be on a schedule.
Yes.
But, yeah, 14 days.
Yes,
yeah,
random,
gone,
yeah, we're not going to manage
so
that.
Like, what do you
do? But these are the weekly. Are they random weekly, or are they? She has a choice of when she goes in.
They're all random.
Yeah, one of the things that you could do is just say, minimum of two tests per month. They're random, and they could be in the same week or they could be spread out. It's usually, they have to call in to see if they have to report. You can just use language like that if you're comfortable with it.
Can we do
Victoria's shaking her head. I don't think that was Dr. Keene's intention.
Pardon?
I don't think that was Dr. Keene's intention.
Yeah. So I'd like to use his exact wording then.
What do you think his intention was?
I think his intention was 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks.
So
at least.
That's why I'm taking it as that's not random, really.
It says random. His recommendation is
random. It's
random
within the week, but it's not random from the point of two. Could be within 1 week.
Yeah.
So it's any time in this 14 days it could happen.
Right, exactly.
In the next 14 days.
Exactly.
It has to be within 14 days.
Yeah, they could literally be back-to-back days.
Yeah. So he's the addictionist, the specialist in this.
Yes.
If that's what you recommended,
yes.
I don't think we should split
okay.
it. Let him go.
Then my off go, start top of page again, amending the interim consent agreement for drug testing, for the frequency of random screens to be increased to at least twice monthly, using his exact wording. Second, to go down to his second bullet point, would be to ask for the respondent to provide for board, subject to board approval, to for alternatives to 12-step and for relapse prevention for both separately. Okay, and I would say that needs to be done within 30 days. It concerns me that this case has been before us, I believe, since last July, and we're still not in treatment mode.
Yeah, we will promptly get you those recommendations.
Please hear that loud and clear.
Heard.
Yep.
Okay. Then to go on, it
yes.
would be
Victoria, jump in.
Jane, I'm just gonna, when you're done with that part, I just want you to go back to their original talk of, does she need to now go to a psychologist? Since Dr. Keene was questioning, did she need
yes.
to?
Yes, yeah, there has evidently been some
okay.
discrepancy
okay.
there, and I can now understand some of Flynn's confusion. When I had said psych eval, I had said psychiatric. Dr. Keene is an addictionologist.
And
this was more of a general psychiatric evaluation to go along with the neurological evaluation. It got interpreted into the consent agreement as psychologist. So I would include in my changes to the interim consent agreement that it be, say, psychiatric evaluation.
And is that what everybody still wants her to get that?
Yes.
Okay.
I do not.
Okay, well, we'll take these one at a time then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they're all just or that, but not both.
They're looking at different things.
He's
right,
saying he
right.
no longer
completely
is recommending
different
that because he's already got the diagnosis.
It's a very different thing.
That's from an addictionologist who
yeah.
looked at.
So psych eval is very different than an addictionologist.
Yes.
Very.
I understand, but I'm going off of what has been recommended, and it says
that
I don't recommend that that's needed anymore.
Right, because he thought it was a psychologist, I believe.
Yes.
And it's not. It's a psychiatrist. That's where the confusion lies, and as I said, I now understand where Flynn's confusion was, because I was clear at least three times saying psychiatrist, and it ended up in the consent order saying psychologist. And the reason it's different. An addictionologist is looking at substance use and substance abuse. This is broader to determine to ability to safely practice veterinary medicine.
It looks at a number of different disorders that could be there too. So I mean, it's gonna do a full evaluation of
right.
disorders as opposed to just addiction related
right.
disorders.
Yeah. So I'm more interested in the psychiatric aspect
mm-hmm.
for her own health,
mm-hmm.
not whether she's safe to practice veterinary medicine. Is she safe? Period.
Absolutely.
I mean
there's
that's
a benefit.
What I was
yeah.
thinking about on that part of it. Not.
Yeah.
Not the medicine.
Yeah. It is definitely, in essence, all of these and the treatment plan are all to improve her well-being.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, again, what we just went through with the two previous ones.
And some of that improvement and help may not be comfortable.
It may not be comfortable,
so
and quite frankly, it's been too slow in coming.
And frankly, overcoming that uncomfort is probably going to be a healing step.
Absolutely, it gives insight. I'm not a specialist. Go ahead,
Victoria.
Madam Chair, members. So I just want to clarify to you so that I had approved a psychologist already. So
Cindy Lawrence.
Yes. So has there been an attempt to make an appointment with her?
Oh yes. Yeah. So she has to pay the deposit, and we're scheduling, and we just wanted to make sure. That was still required based on the new addendum, but it sounds like we're supposed to be setting an appointment with a psychiatrist instead.
And that's what they're talking about now.
Potentially.
But I just want to set the baseline
the
so that the board knows that she's already
I don't know.
She's already
psychiatrist.
done what she's supposed to do.
Well, and if Doc, I don't know off the top of my.
He is a neuropsychologist, or psychiatrist. He is a neurologist and a psychiatrist. He's double boarded. So I don't understand why I need to see another psychiatrist.
And I'm not here with you, so.
She's talking about the fact that Dr. Keen is also licensed as a psychiatrist, is what she's saying. And so she believes that that is why it's being recommended, that it's no longer necessary.
He's double boarded. Psychiatrist and addictionologist.
I agree, but we asked for an addictionologist evaluation. We did not ask.
But he hasn't.
He's boarded in both.
Oh, he's boarded in both?
Yes.
He is a psychiatrist, but he has not done a psychiatric evaluation.
So he couldn't, that's fine.
But we could return to him as the provider to do that, is that?
Sure.
Yes, yes. Yes, okay. Okay.
And we know for sure he did not do that?
Yeah, we read his report.
Like, that doesn't mean that that's everything he did. That just, that could have been the addictionologist's report. But this could be just his addictionology interpretation, not his psych interpretation, if we didn't ask for that.
Well, I think it's, I don't want to get into speculation.
Well, if he already did it, the good news is, he can just write that up and she does not do a pay him in.
Right, if it's a full psych eval. I don't believe it is. I don't.
We don't know what he did.
But yeah.
We can find out pretty easy.
Sounds to me like if he did not already do that, that you're asking for it to be done, for him to review it again with that lens. And if he did already do that, to confirm that and then add to the report, that part. Is that right?
Yes, please.
Okay.
So in order to get this moving again and to take it one by one, since.
I'm okay with that language if that's what you're using. That Dr. King can either speak to what he's already done as far as a psych evaluation.
If he's comfortable with that.
If I don't want to tell him how to do a psych eval, a full psych eval.
I don't. If he's already done it, let's start there. Instead of telling her to go somewhere else.
No, I hear what you're saying, and I'm not telling her to go somewhere else. I'm saying get a full psych eval done, not just an addictionologist's report.
Okay, that is clear now.
Okay, so do I, can I bundle these all together, Dr. James, or no?
So far, yes.
Okay, good, okay. Okay, we have the doctor, the gatekeeper, the pharmacy's already taken care of, and since treatment is not currently occurring, changing counseling reporting to monthly until treatment is begun. Okay, those would be, and to request the staff, I don't think this needs to be in the order, but to request staff to do a random inspection once practice resumes.
Are we putting in there that these programs that they're looking into need to be started within 30 days? Did I hear that at the beginning?
It needs to come back to the board because it's got to be board approved, so they're going to have to come back with them.
So they're going to come back within 30 days, but no start date?
They can't if it's board approved, unless we have a special meeting.
Right, we're not saying you have to be back with us in 30 days and these have to be started within 60 days. What I'm trying to get to is they could come back to us with one that we end up board approving, but they can't get you in for 3 months, in which case we're waiting 3 months for her to start. Is that, we're okay with that?
No. I mean, that may be what it is, unfortunately. That's
just not how it works. Is that part of the consideration?
I would be concerned about having a license and active status in that case, so.
But she was already supposed to be doing the counseling. This is not new.
Yeah.
You're right.
This is not something that just happened last month. I mean, we've been dealing with this for a while, and that's where my issue is it seems like every month there's some problem as to why we couldn't complete the last month's suggestions and what we're telling to be done.
Right.
And that's where my major concern is we're not taking this to heart. We're trying to throw up roadblocks and trying to do this stuff, and I don't know if we're playing legal games or what we're doing. I mean, this is getting crazy. I've never dealt with one that's taken this long to even start.
I know.
I've been doing this for over 8 years now. I mean, we've got to take this seriously. I don't think we are.
Cooperation was a big element in the two successful cases that were heard earlier this morning. Absolutely agreed.
I mean, we have people traveling out of country during these kinds of things. Right. It's like we're very open to doing things.
Yes.
It's just we've got to be able to do this.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
We've got to get things moving on track.
Yeah.
So I think what may be needed then to get things moving on track, and is to possibly add, and I understand there are financial constraints, but we need to put in some impetus to get y'all to act. And I would say that that means suspending the license until treatment begins.
Which it's effectively suspended right now, because it's renewed.
Yeah.
Once we renew, it's active, automatically active, right?
But I tossed that for board discussion. That, at this point, we, I share your frustration, and we've been dealing with this for almost 8 months.
Yeah, we could be 6 months into the process, and, I mean, well on the way to completion.
Right.
We usually would be.
Oh, absolutely. We would, all the other cases we've dealt with, they're in treatment, they're reporting to us, we're starting to see the change in the recovery process, and, yeah, this has been needlessly delayed. So you've got the board's feeling on this. So I would suggest that in order to provide that impetus, and if we need to vote on this last bit separately, please tell me, that we continue the suspension of her license until treatment begins.
After it's renewed again.
Pardon?
After the renewal's paid. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. After the renewal's paid, yes. Is there any objection before? Can I include that?
Say the wording one more time.
Pardon?
Say the wording one more time.
That her license would be in suspension until treatment begins. In other words, they've got to come back to us with the alternative programs. We approve them. They get a rental.
Treatment being all three of the different items, the 12-step program or according whatever they pick.
It's relapse prevention. Those are the two keys.
Okay, so those two and...
Because Dr. Hazel...
Yes. What I'm trying to say is the way it's worded right now, they could read treatment as we're going to Dr. Hazel every month.
No, they've been doing that since...
So I wanted to be clear as to what we are looking at as far as treatment. I'm not trying to be defiant here. I'm trying to get this clear because it's not clear to me, which means it's not clear to them.
Okay, until...
And I agree with you.
Until the 12, until she has entered the board approved, 12-step or board-approved alternative and relapse prevention or board-approved alternative.
So that means, though, that she can't practice for at least another 30 days.
At least, yes.
I would add in that Victoria can approve.
Well, that's what I was just going to ask.
Okay.
So if she gets somebody and can get an appointment tomorrow, and Victoria can verify and approve it, let her get to where she needs to go.
The board or their designee.
As a matter of just making the record, we would object to a suspension as an unfair taking of her license, and we would ask that...
She doesn't have one.
Well, I understand, but she has the ability to renew, so she has that option available to her, and it sounds like she just got the funds in place. My concern is that even if we go back to my office today and I gather the information and get it to Victoria ASAP, that we are still waiting on open availability for all three components for her to get in. And so I would ask if there's any opportunity to consider that in what the board is suggesting, that would be a way to make sure that it's not needlessly delaying her ability to earn income and afford these things based on the provider's schedules that she has no control over.
I understand that. I would also say we've been needlessly delayed by withholding of information too.
Yes.
So again, we should be well on the way of doing this. So I understand it may take 3 months to schedule something because of the way hospitals and facilities are going right now. Again, this should have been done before.
Right.
We're still finding new information even as of last month that wasn't disclosed to us, and that changes a lot of things. So we're kind of having to restart this every month. So it's really nice to be forward with us, because we're not trying to punish anybody. We're trying to get people back to practicing, getting back to veterinary medicine. And when all of a sudden every month something new pops up, it changes things. So we really need you guys to be forward with us and give us the information we need to do our jobs properly and to regulate properly so that we can complete this. Because our goal is to get everybody back. I mean, again, I don't know if you were here for the previous two that we're finally done with after 2 and 3 years, sometimes up to 5 years. We're finally done with them. We're happy. We're celebrating that.
Yes.
So we want to go through this, but when we start getting new information every single month, it's going to change things, and it's going to delay it, and that's going to increase costs. So I'm going to say, be forward with us. give us the information we need, and we can get this thing going a lot easier.
Yeah, and I've got to be honest with you, Dr. Villapianta, I mean, your demeanor is not helping you either. Like, you barely look at us, you look down, you don't really speak to us, you speak to your attorney, you're mumbling, and I hear you over there huffing and puffing, and I know you're upset with us, but I just want you to understand how that looks to me and my, you know, my colleagues as well. It's not
here, here.
It's not helping your situation.
So, let me throw this out there. We want her to start treatment before, suspended until she starts treatment, right?
Right.
But the treatment could be one of those things.
No, I'd be looking.
Right? Well, you don't need to start the prevention treatment until after you start the 12-step or the similar, right? The relapse. That comes, right? I mean, I know you're going to start it. Which one's more important? Which one's more urgent?
I don't think we have to make that determination.
Okay. So hear me out.
Okay.
If she can do, because she could go do a 12-step today somewhere, right? Find one and go. She doesn't want to go because she's uncomfortable. But she could go find a meeting and start today there, be uncomfortable for a couple weeks or a couple months till she gets the other program, and she could be practicing, and we could get this thing going, which we haven't really got going.
No.
It's been interim. It keeps interrupted interim.
Yes.
That keeps going and going and going. But if she could just get started on that one thing, and yeah, if the free, cheap 12-step in the bottom of the basement at the nearest Catholic church or whatever is all that's there, but it's free and they'll give you a cup of coffee, then that's maybe where you need to go until you can get the other one in place. You know, pay the fee for the license, get it done, and start earning some money. But it's got to start. And I throw that out there just so to get it going faster. Part of it going not going faster isn't us.
That's right.
She's done it.
You're stuck.
Not us.
And I do appreciate the focus on what can she do immediately and without cost. And what I would suggest for board consideration is that if we can get her immediately, you know, if you're considering a suspension until she's, you know, rubber hits the road and she's actually gets some traction in these, you know, these requirements, then perhaps it would make sense to have her to suspension until she can do the things that there is no big cost barrier for or scheduling barrier for, and then at least get the other things approved and scheduled so the board can see that there's been progress. And, you know, not that we are saying we would schedule out as far as possible, but, you know, asking the availability of the providers for what their earliest is and getting some commitment, maybe a deposit or whatever, so that she feels invested. If there's some way to do that, so that she doesn't have to wait on the scheduling. That's the request.
Again, I've got to vent my frustration here. This could have been done 6 months ago. Instead, we got, I'll call them roadblocks. We got lack of information, not being forthcoming, not being cooperative. And so I'm sorry, that opportunity passed 6 months ago. We're here now. We have to start moving forward. And that pace, we're going to make these orders. And the pace at which you move forward is going to be up to you. I'm sorry, did I misstate anything that anybody, board member, disagrees with?
No, but let's wrap this up as we, again, have been discussing this for over an hour. So is there anything to add?
I have something to add, so just make sure that we're on the same page. So the second, the interim consent agreement,
yes,
is the one that's in place. The third consent agreement was offered. I just sent it to Flynn on Sunday.
Yeah.
So were you planning to sign that, the third?
So it sounds like there are modifications, and we are still in the window of our opportunity, yeah, to accept it. And so if the board is going to offer another one, then that is what we would be looking for.
Okay.
It sounds like there are some modifications.
There are. That makes sense to me. So the second interim consent agreement is still in place. So she was supposed to, again, within 30 days of the effective date, which was December 28th, to identify the counselor. I haven't received a name of a counselor.
Okay.
You mentioned before that I have not. And I had received an email on February 8th from the attorney's staff saying that she has an appointment set with, this is about talking about the neurologist now, for March 2nd, that this was his first available appointment. Says, I believe her evaluation completion deadline is on or about February 24th.
But we did complete that already. He was able to squeeze her in. So that's completed.
So that is completed.
But if I'm hearing you, Victoria, we're in, not in compliance with the December 28th deadline for counseling?
That's correct, and I think you heard why. But, so my question back on the neuro was, the attorney staff was asking me, hey, is that okay that she's not gonna do it with this in the window? I didn't say yes or no. I said, when did she make the appointment? And they never responded. So it goes to what you're saying of how long, I gave approval of these folks on January 21st. Did we start to try to make an appointment on January 21st? Or did we wait until February? So that's what I'm trying to get at is,
yes.
As I'm just supporting what your thought is that time is going on and things aren't getting done in the time frame that they should be.
Can I ask a question? Doctor, are you not wanting to do these things strictly because of cost, or is this, you don't feel these things are necessary for your recovery?
I'm trying to do them. Like, a lot of the things they won't let me schedule until I can actually pay them. So I couldn't, I've tried to call Dr. Rollins probably like three weeks ago, and I didn't have the money to pay her until just recently. So I couldn't schedule it until I can actually give her a deposit. So I mean, I don't, I'm doing my best, I'm trying, but.
I have a question. So I've had friends in veterinary medicine that haven't been able to practice veterinary medicine for a certain amount of time. Have you looked at other jobs in the meantime to be able to fund these things to help get back to practicing veterinary medicine?
Yes.
I mean, has there been any consideration in the, you haven't practiced for a month, or I'm sorry, for 14 days, 15 days, has there been any consideration in those 15 days to look for another job to try and pay for these things?
Yes, I'm trying to look for something where I can work from home. I mean, I can't go and be around people whenever I'm sick, you know, like I can't go and get other people sick. They're just not.
That just sounds like
that's reasonable.
Exactly.
That's not the past.
Right.
Can you understand the excuses? We just keep getting excuse after excuse after excuse, yes. And that's, we don't want you to be embarrassed about anything. We're not trying to make this harder. We're trying to get through a process. We have heard some things from other veterinarians, so there's no need to be embarrassed about anything. We just need you to be upfront and forward with us.
That's right.
But we're throwing these options at you, and we're just giving this, no, I didn't do this, no, I didn't do that. You can't do that. You've got to take responsibility for your life and start getting through these things. Can you do that for us, please? We want to work with you. Can you please start working with us? I mean, we should be well on our way to completing this. We really should be.
I'm sorry that you feel that I'm not trying, because I am. Okay. And all I can do is keep trying, and I'm sorry that you feel that I'm not doing that.
I hope you do keep trying, but yeah, I would take into consideration, there's everybody's hiring out there. You can get another job if you have to pay for things in the meantime. I'm not telling you to do that, but again, there are ways of getting around these things that you keep throwing at us that we can't do. We can't do this, we can't do that. Well, there's ways around it. We just gotta figure out those ways, and unfortunately, that's not up to us. We're gonna be the ones that have to protect the public and make sure you can get back to practicing, but to get to that point, that's all gonna be on you. So I need you to step up and do that for us, please, and for yourself. Because we want to get you back into practice. That is our goal. We need you back in practice.
Yeah.
Along that line, can I ask, has the doctor told you when you won't be contagious, or is there any kind of medical regarding this current illness, how long this is going to go on?
So I'm hoping that I will be better next week.
That's not what I'm asking. Has a doctor told you, this is what I want you to do, stay away from people for X amount of days?
Yeah.
Or are you just making that assumption on your own?
No. I saw them. I have to look at the calendar specifically.
You saw a provider?
Yeah.
And you got recommendations?
Mm-hmm.
And what were those doctor recommendations?
Right. That to at least stay away from people for at least like 10 to 14 days.
And where are you at in that window?
I believe I'm about, like, at the, around the 10-day point.
Okay, so we're ending the window.
Okay, so.
Do I need to review this stuff again?
No, I think we've.
We got it?
Got it.
That's my motion.
Okay.
Is there a second?
There's a second.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Mark, should we do a roll call?
Yes, please.
Roll call.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Mr. Lohe?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Question passes, so thank you. I think you know what we're looking for. If there are any questions, please let Victoria know immediately. And we'll see you next month or next.
Yeah, monthly.
Okay, so next month.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Victoria, we'll follow up to make sure that we dot all of our I's. Thank you, appreciate your help.